Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run. It's it's the 21st of August 2025 and it's a Thursday. Now, since I'm going to talk about Africa today, let's start with something I found, something that got my blood boiling on my way here. And that is one interesting comment I came across on a video of now this is something part of our discussion. Now here's the thing. There's a video of I believe it was a TRT Africa, a Turkish based news media that reports, also does a lot of reporting on things in Africa. And they were, covering, they made a story, on an iron ore transporting a train that is found in, I think it's in Mauritania. Now, this train is, according to their numbers that I used in that video, if you had to walk from the, from the beginning to the end of this train, it will take you 30 minutes. That's how long the train is. It will take you 30 minutes to walk from one end of the train to the other. That's how long it is, that train is. And it's constantly running to transport, this unprocessed raw material, especially iron in Mauritania, to the nearest ports and different areas where it's, of course, shipped off to overseas territories where it's processed and then value is added on and then, everything is retained in finished products of which we obviously then buy at, a thousand times the price. Now, as if that is not painful enough in a country that is literally still on the map in the 21st century for selling people, slave trade is still a very common thing, even today in Mauritania, it turns out. Now, someone in the comment section, a black person, decided to write a very interesting comment that, the thing is, if it was not for Europeans who would not have known how, and I'm paraphrasing him, if it was not for Europeans who would not have known all these matters, I was like, huh? Now, at first I started blaming him for being so ignorant, and then I turned around and started blaming the education system we found on the African continent and the type of history that we teach. So, of course I decided to drop one of my very professional comments in there. So I was like, okay, you know what, if you're familiar with something known as the Benin Bronze Statues, now, this has been part of, the Benin Kingdom of modern, large parts of modern day Nigeria. These people have been, have been making these statues for a very long time. Now, before you start saying, they are just statues. First of all, you have to understand that, bronze is not a naturally occurring material. Bronze is a combination of copper and tin. In a very specific ratio, in very controlled burning environment of what you call today as a blast furnace, if you want to go, the European terms. But the thing is, what Homeboy did not understand, and the fact that, I looked up Homeboy's account, he's speaking, English with a pidgin accent, so he's from West Africa. Now, the fact that he's from a past part of Africa where this technology of bronze statues come from, and he doesn't know that, scares the heck out of me. And also it gives me something to think of every time that I open a history book and the first thing there is Benito Mussolini and Adolf Hitler. Now I'm like, if you are a history teacher on the African continent and your students know Adolf Hitler, Benito Mussolini and Winston Churchill, but they don't know crap about Benin bronze statues, you need a new syllabi. Like yesterday. That was, in a nutshell, how my way here was. So, how is your day, wherever you tuned in from? Thank you very much for tuning in, and thank you for picking Eagle FM, and thank you for tuning in Home Run. My name is Helmut, and I'll be here until the hour of 6. For those of you that are regular, of course, you already know that. And now, again, for those of you that are new, this is Home Run, usually with Helmut and Adwaita. So Lois is going to kill me one of these days. But Dwight is somewhere being capanad by the sun somewhere in the north. And I'm, you know, in winter, just chilling and minding my own business. I feel like, you know, all of us, guys, please, you know, please, just, so let's have volume on this one. Put volume. All of us, you know, just whatever line of work you find yourself into, ask yourself one question. Is that what you should be doing? Because, you know, more often we like to look at, you know, we like to look at different lines of work and start saying that, oh, no, this person is very good at this, but this one, boy, this guy is terrible. Now that's when you start realizing that, perhaps they are in a different line of work, which is not their calling. And they're just doing it out of, you know, for convenience. And we have all been in those situations before where you are doing things for convenience, not because you have to do it. Like, given a chance, you'd be doing something else, which is actually something that you are passionate about. Well, where is this story coming from? You see, after putting everything together, I decided, you know what, I need to take a walk. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to take a walk until, you know, from the side of 27 in Comastal, for those of you that are familiar with the geography of Comastal. So I was like, okay, you know what, I'll just take a walk until the, you know, the side of Gammam service station there, you know, just sit there for a couple of minutes, you know, have my lunch, just lazy to cook and stuff, you know, sit there, have my lunch, and then, you know, hop in a cab to town for my, you know, classes, and then proceed to, you know, proceed to the studio. And then, I had 30 minutes to spare. Yeah. Now, I know I don't have a car, so I like to have 30 minutes to spare. Just, you know, just in case the driver is terrible at his job. And today I ran into one who is really terrible at his job. Now, on my way, I basically walked until the side of the main entrance of Augustinium Secondary School. That's when, the sun was showing me flames. So I was like, you know what? It's just getting a little too hot. So change your plans. I'm just gonna, you know, grab a cab and maybe, you know, pick something to eat in town. So I got a cab. Homeboy picked me at Augustinium. And then I did not know that the guy who was in the back seat, because I sat at the, you know, the front passenger seat. What I did not know was that, the guy in the back seat was going to Oshomuithe. And a homeboy was picking up a kid at school, also in Comastal. I'm telling you. This is, the side of Parkfoods. And, now, this is someone who was picking a kid at school, the side of Parkfoods. That kid was going at that side of Marigold Hotel. And he decided to pick a customer that was going to Oshomuithe. And then picked one who was going to town. And then went, picked that kid, dropped the person that was going to Oshomuithe, they went to the Marigold Hotel. Now, because I had a lot of time to spare, I was just sitting there going, my God, this guy is terrible at his job. I'm not spewing that on all taxi drivers, which is why I started with whatever it is that you do, ask yourself one question. Is that what you are supposed to be doing? And homeboy had no sense of agency. He was just on his phone. I'll give him credit. The music was superb. It was awesome. Now, because I had a lot of time to spare, I was just sitting there enjoying the comfort of his car and, you know, the tour around Windhoek. But the question I couldn't stop asking myself was, if I was in a hurry, I would be in serious trouble. Oh my God, I would get out of this cab because no one in their right mind picks someone from Comastal who is going to Oshomuithe and then drive them through Parkfoods and then, you know, drive all the way to Beijing Street and then use the highway. Like, holy cow. So it sort of like gave me made me ask myself a lot of questions about what I do, you know, about what I do. Now the question I couldn't stop asking myself is, at look, everything that I do, everything from, you know, everything from, you know, from comedy to studio and everything, I really hope I'm not this terrible, because if I am, I need a change in career, because Chesu. So, I'm not here to give career guidance though. I'm here to, let's go back to Nigeria again. Now, for those of you that, for those of you that have been living under a rock, then you must, I will gladly inform you that, that, we have representatives that, we have, Namibian government representatives that are in Japan, and they're attending something called, something called TICAD. I know. I didn't come up with those abbreviations. The thing is, one thing you'll find interesting is that, Nigeria has already gone viral. This is, how do I put it? Simply, this is an Africa, not just Nigeria only, not just Namibia only. This is an Africa-Japan development collabo type. This week I was talking about, I think that was last week Friday, Dwight and I were talking about the Samoa agreements, how it relates to its in terms of development between between the European Union and the African Union. That type of, you have the Samoa agreement. Samoa agreements is between basically is between the developing world and the developing world, aka Namibia, not Namibia, Africa and the Caribbean countries, Caribbean countries among others, and mostly, developmental partners, as we like to sometimes call them. And then you have the Joint Vision 2030 agreement, or more like a partnership that the EU and AU made. And, the report of the progress that had been made, in this joint agreement in terms of developmental accomplishment, execution of their respective tasks between the EU and the AU. I also covered that, this week. Now, if you missed any of this, don't worry. We have the Eagle FM app. You can go on the website. Just go under podcast, you will find a bunch of the podcasts that, of the shows that have already been done. I'm just, punching my fingers in the table. And I don't want to, kill them. So for those ones, for those of you that have missed the TICAD, aka, what is that, TICAD for? Yeah. That's the Tokyo International Conference on Africa, on African Development. That's where our Prime Minister, Eliane Ngurare is, according to the lady from TRT, when it was like, among the other representatives that are representing their countries at this year's TICAD is, Namibia's Elijah Ngurare. I was like, oh, okay. So this is how our names are pronounced by other media houses. Elijah, Elia, potato, potato, man. Who cares? That's what you get for borrowing names. So now, moving on. So now, what you have here is somewhat something very interesting. And, this event started yesterday and it's ending tomorrow. Now, the thing is, the way this thing is going is very interesting, because you have representatives like, the big guns that are coming to represent, different countries. Some countries like Nigeria, for example, their president is there. For Namibia, on the other hand, we decided to send the prime minister. Now, so, Eliane Ngurare is there. He's the one that's attending the event. But for some countries, they decided to send, the biggest of the executive branch. Now, yesterday, a video went viral because, that was put up by one Nigerian guy. Who was moving in, now this is a Nigerian who is just who just happened to find themselves in Tokyo. Now this is not taking place in Tokyo though. This is taking place, I don't think it's taking place in Tokyo though. I will have to confirm that. Now, the thing is, what's happening is, now what happened was he was moving from one booth to another. This is development oriented discussion where the big guns are talking about how, you know, how to draft policies and how to, you know, how to trade with each other and how to exchange knowledge in all these developmental, you know, developmental endeavors. Here's the problem though. Now, another beautiful part before we get to the problems. Another, beautiful part is that, all these people now, they go with, with piece of garments or technological innovations, for example, that they have to showcase in their developmental, when the prime minister is making promises there of what Namibia can produce, there is a booth somewhere that's representing Namibia that is, that someone can basically go to that Namibian booth and go like, okay, I heard the Namibian prime minister say this and this and this about what Namibia is able to produce and contribute to this partnership. Let me see let me go to the Namibian booth and see if I can find a sample of the promises that are being made at the podium. Well, all booths, according to this Nigerian guy who decided to take all these things to Twitter, all booths had their representatives. You go to the, I think Cameroon, Morocco, everyone is there, their booth. Of course, you are not going to find a president or a prime minister there. You'll find some of the delegates that went with the big guns. According to him and according to the video I saw, and that is one of the most viral video coming out of that event, the Nigerian booth was squeaky clean. There was not a single person there. So Nigerians now, because decided to start cooking themselves big time, which I enjoyed as a Namibian. I was there like, well, I don't have to do it because, I mean, what's more fun than watching friendly fire? So these guys were just cooking themselves big time. So ask yourself one question. Where the heck were these guys at this point? I was like, I'm Namibian. I don't have to answer that, but I can sit here and watch. Now, that is not what we are here to talk about. It seems that the event is ending tomorrow though. So we have to basically get all the most important part that is, less embarrassing. And then we will, save that story for another day. For today, we're going to talk about two main events that were actually hosted in preparation for the TICAD, aka Tokyo International Conference on African Development. The two events that were held earlier this year in preparation to this event. And those two events are the ones that I am going to cover for today's show. But before we continue, let's take a commercial break. Not a commercial. Let's just take a break. This is Home Run with Helmut and White.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Now, let's continue. Where I started off with the lack of, of real African history in African schools, let's now dive into just a few of it, using mostly my point of reference for the entire duration of this show, is going to be, pardon me, for my entire duration of this show, is going to be one that is, to some degree, what was Africa before some of, what was Africa before we ended up where we are today? Now, I'm not going to get into scholarly history. What I'm gonna, what I'm gonna look at is, if you look at the type of partnership Africa is forming across the continent, in modern day in age, you're going to see that it's more of a, we started, especially with Europeans, we started off in a, on a wrong foot and we can do better type of partnership. But the same cannot be said about Japan because, well, they were not involved in a, in any way, at least that I know of, in colonialism. If anything, they were fighting for their life too, even though it's safe to say that they were causing one heck of a nightmare for the Chinese and some of their neighbors like the South Koreans, which is why the tensions in that part of the world, especially when it comes to Japan and China and South Korea, oh, the tensions are high. Really, like ionosphere high. Now, but we are now every time, now if you look at Africa at this point, we're now talking, at least from, to arguably larger degree, we are now into post-independence with, in colonial terms. We are now in post-independence. In all the agreements we are making, there's a lot of diplomacy involved than just hop on a ship and we're going to sell you and you don't have any rights. Now, because of that, but one thing that is kind of difficult difficult not to see is that, we're still in the process, we're still in the transition process of, mending the relationship of, we started off on a wrong foot type of relationship. Now, so in October of 2022, the Smithsonian's, those guys are very huge when it comes to historical artifacts. Like, they're very huge and very controversial. Because of, Smithsonian's, Masons comes in. It's a whole different discussion. Now, the Smithsonian National Museum of African Art transferred ownership of 29 Benin bronzes to the National Commission for Museum and Monuments in Nigeria after they were, quote unquote, this was my favorite part. After they were stolen from Nigeria during the 1879 British raid on Benin City. Now, as for my gentleman who commented on the video from TRT, that if it wasn't for colonialism, we would not have discovered these metals. He forgot that, well, his history teachers failed him. It's either that or he has a lot of white friends and he doesn't like offending them, which is really dumb because unless you and your white friends can openly talk about this, you're not really friends. You're lying to each other. unless you are crushing on a smoking hot lady, then, I totally understand because usually when you have a crush, you are thinking with the head downstairs and that have never made a good decision for anyone. Not for Father Abraham, not for Simpson, not for, not for King David, not for a single. Anyone, no matter how smart you are, when that head starts thinking for you, you never make a good decision out of that. Believe me. A lot of people have found themselves having to answer questions about what happened to the babysitter. Now, 1879, the British raided the city of Benin, which was a very large part of the Benin Empire. And they found the statues that were made out of bronze. These are the raw materials we are shipping for free. It turns out, at some point, we used it. At some point, we processed it ourselves. And then, those were ancestors, by the way, the uneducated ones, they used it. They processed it into finished product. And then the educated new ones came in, with their PhDs and started shipping everything in a raw form. I mean, the level of damage is astounding. But anyway, now, in February of this year, the BBC released also an article about, Netherlands, the Dutch, basically, the Netherlands and the Germans. They were doing the same thing. working on repatriating all these, quote unquote, collected. That's the word that is used in, in the world of artifacts. You know, this art was collected. No, they were stolen. They were stolen. So the Smithsonian on here, on the other hand, they used the correct term. When the Benin bronze statues were stolen from Nigeria. Now we're talking. Stolen. That's the right word. Now, it would be very weird if I created a museum somewhere in Tura and then collected all the phones and the bags that have been snatched from all of you and then labeled them as Gabriel didn't really grab this iPhone. No. It was collected on the, this iPhone was not stolen on the 21st of August in 2025. No. It was collected by Gabriel, in Van Hill, when Elizabeth was not looking, collected this, this iPhone. Now it's part of our heritage and it's illegal for you to quote unquote collect it back. That's the type of language that we are looking at here. Now you all understand why for someone that likes history like me, love comedy. It's because it's kind of difficult to look at this with a straight face. Back then it would be difficult to look at it with a straight face because you couldn't help but cry because all your heritage is being stolen. Is being pillaged. But now all you can do is just look at it and then start laughing at the technical lingo that's used to hide all the atrocities. And I love technical language. It's beautiful. Commercial break.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
And welcome back. The time is 5 o'clock on the dot. If you just tuned in, remember, home run, Eagle FM, helmet. And why? Now, moving on. It is no secret then, according to yours truly, moi, it is no secret then that the relationship between the countries, especially the, a lot of developed countries, are still in their transition and from pre to post independence phase. Now, this means that the ways of doing things have sort of like gained some large degree of diplomatic, execution. Now, this is a diplomatic execution of, of responsibilities in a modern day of diplomatic execution. You can imagine the guys that were running transatlantic slavery told themselves they were just, I'm just doing my job, which is, I think it's very dangerous. Every time that you find yourself in a situation where you have to tell yourself, I'm just doing my job, you have to understand that transatlantic slavery employees told themselves the exact same thing. Hitler's soldiers told themselves the exact same thing. I'm just doing my job. But in actual reality, they were committing a genocide. Israeli soldiers are telling themselves, as you can imagine, the exact same thing in Gaza right now. I'm just doing my job. Well, guess what? You're still killing people. Now, I think that's the most difficult part of being a soldier. Everywhere you go, you find yourself, you read stories about soldiers that try to use that as an excuse. I'm just doing my job is not an excuse. You have a brain to think. If something is causing harm to others as a human being, by default, you should know not to do it anymore. But nope, I'm just doing my job. And now, before you start looking at soldiers for this, you have to understand, you do realize we do the same thing over and over again. There's someone out there who found themselves robbing someone because they told themselves, well, I have to do it. No, you didn't have to. Your life did not depend on it. At least not in a literal sense. Now, let's look at those two events. Now, the reason why I felt like it is important to lay the foundation. Believe it or not, I'm taking classes for breathing because it's unhealthy to just, rumble without breathing. If you think you are, and it turns out it's very expensive to pay people to train you how to breathe. As a continent that's still recovering from, that's recovering from the aftermath of colonialism, we are faced with the two monsters that we have to deal with now. Monster number one is finding our identity and then trying to figure out, first of all, who are we? What do we have that, who are we? And once we figure that out, we are slowly figuring that out. And it's not that difficult. All you just have to do is go to the British Museum. They have everything labeled. Once you figure out who are we, then we start now coming to realize, for us to figure out who we are, we have to find out who we were. We can't just pick up from colonialism. I feel like I totally understand now why we, every history book that you pick starts African history from colonialism, slavery. Then we fought for independence, and then we lived happily ever after. We like to make it sound like there was no Africa before a bunch of guys with that were allergic to the sun showed up. But we had thriving empires. We had thriving civilizations. We had that. Don't think like that Nigerian or West African guy who thought that, European colonialism taught us how to use the minerals we have. No. It's the educated, PhD level educated generations of today that are shipping everything raw. Our ancestors, the people that did not even attend kindergarten, they knew how to do it. They knew how to process it. But for us, every time we want to process it, we need investment. What do you think, the makers of the Benin statues, how do you think they refined everything to that level of genius precision? You think they had to borrow money from someone? No, they didn't. They had to employ their creativity. And that is something we are very good at. We have that, but we are not using it. Why? Because, for a project to be lucrative, it must have a lot of money for someone to steal. Sorry, I said that out loud. It turns out you're not supposed to say it out loud. But, there's me. So, someone, a very close friend of mine, listened to one, two podcasts of my show and went like, you guys are allowed to say that? I'm like, he also works in the same media space, but for a different session. We have a lot of red tapes. I'm like, hey, that's why, I don't know if you have noticed, but I've been very nice to John as of late, because my fear is, with my tongue that's been accustomed to Eagle FM type of vibe, if I find myself in a different studio, I'm gonna get fired the next day. Because I feel like, all right, here, let's do it. And I'm like, actually, you can't say that. I'm like, really? You guys are just sucking the fun out of it. It's not just supposed to be a job. It's supposed to be something that you enjoy doing. And at the end of the month, it all feels like you are being paid to enjoy doing what you do. Huh. Thanks. Now, before the TICAD discussion, aka the, you know, aka the Tokyo International Conference on African Development, there were two events that were held, sort of like, you know, there were two main events that were held. And, these two events basically goes to show some very, interesting sort of like, point. Now, well, here we are. Heritage showcasing and preservation. The reason why I started with the video that went viral in, on the, you know, ongoing TICAD. Now, this was taken, this, I think it's, over 10 hours. I think it was from yesterday. Yeah. And, Japan and Namibia have a different time zone. So, according to the United Nations Development Program, the event was part of a dialogue series that was, Now, in May, heritage showcasing and preservation. Yeah, that's why I started with the booth. So when it comes to this event, that's why it involves a delegate. And I think it's very nice because, it's important for you to have a booth of where you are going to showcase what Namibia is able to contribute to this partnership. In other words, while the prime minister or the guy that is being paid to give all the speeches is giving speeches on stage, everyone who is listening can then, you know, in between the all-you-can-eat buffet, now during the time of all-you-can-eat buffet, they can walk from one booth to another and see that, oh, this is what the Prime Minister was talking about. Oh, this is what President So from this country was talking about. Oh, they can produce this. They can find that in a booth, which is being attended not by the Prime Minister or the President, for the love of God. So you have all these delegates that are going there with the Prime Minister or the President, depending on who is too hungry to attend, to go on the trip. So, that's where the heritage showcasing and prevention, preservation of the said heritage now comes in. Just put in mind that, for countries like Namibia, we're still finding ourselves in, trying to figure out who we were before the, before our cultural identities, tribal identities were basically erased. Or at least they tried to erase them. Which is why, before you start saying, I'm still an African, look into your kitchen. How many, just look into your kitchen. Look into your closet. Look at your cosmetics. How many of what you use is based on African heritage? I'm not saying it should come from straight African, it should come from a straight up African factory. If it's based on African heritage, it's not a lot. Which is why, I like to look at it from the angle of, we are still in the, we are still in the transition. Some of us are still, have just gotten, the memo that there is nothing less, there's nothing less intelligent about speaking your own language. There's nothing less intelligent about speaking your own language. But if you look at how we have defined the word intelligent, for example, someone's intelligence is measured by how fluent they speak a foreign language, which is very painful. Because if you look at it, there is no British somewhere who is going like, unless you speak Oshwambo, or you speak Rukwangari, or you speak Oshiherero fluently, you are not educated. No British is going to, he's saying that. But you have a bunch of Namibians that are going like, unless you speak fluent English, you are not educated. Huh? I know. And look, before you start being harsh on yourself, I'm just as guilty of that as any African. I know. There is no German who is looking at other Germans and going like, unless you are able to speak the Mbukushu fluently, you are not German. You are not educated. No. Nope. There is no French who is going, unless you are, who is looking at other French people and going like, unless you are able to speak Igbo fluently, Unless you are able to speak, you know, to speak any language spoken in a lot of, in all the French colonies fluently, you are not French enough. No. But the painful thing is, in all across the African continent, you'll find a bunch of African continent, of Africans judging other Africans, and calling them uneducated because they don't speak a foreign language fluent enough. My God, that hits different because I've never thought of it that deep. But that's us, guys. Let's face it. So, which is why I like to look at it from the angle of we are still in the transition period because we are still in the transition period of accepting, first of all, accepting who we are, like the real us, not the rah-rah-rah part of us. And the fish rod. main trial case started today. And I could not wait because from the beginning, verbosity was just throwing vocabulary after vocabulary. I was like, my man, you are making me, employ my dictionary here. I haven't used it in a while. Now for some of the words, I even had to put away the dictionary because, my dictionary was not too advanced for the verbosity. So I had to go online. Like, nah, man, I enjoy this. And now that I don't have a morning show, I just get to sit there and absorb every second of it. Now, moving on. So, first of all, as a continent or as a people, not as a nation, as a continent, as a people of the African continent. First of all, it's important to know that we are the most diverse culturally, linguistically, and tribally. We are diverse. That means there is no one African identity. There is a lot of African, African identities because, we have an overall African identity. Of course, there is that. But when you look at a tribal and cultural aspect, not tribal as in your tribe is better than mine. That's just being useless. Now this diversity is needed in terms of showcasing the diversity and the creativity involved in the creation of this diversity. Commercial break.
The best connections and moments are worth remembering, don't you think? Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic drinks, Heineken, Savannah, Vintage Original, or Vintage Lemon, anytime, anywhere. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Pardon me? Now, moving on. Before we continue, let's take a live read and welcome back to Home Run with Helmut on Eagle FM and Watch. This is a Velvicha live read. Short course, new short courses available. Faculty of Law, Commerce and Education, School of Science Program. Certificate in Workplace Dispute Resolution. Admission requirements, a Grade 12 Senior Certificate or equivalent NQF Level 4 with a minimum of 18 points in 5 best subjects and a D symbol in English. Or Grade 12 Certificate with a minimum of 22 points in 5 subjects and a D symbol in English. Plus 2 years relevant industry experience is required. The course cost $5,500. Application period 1 August to 31 August 2025. For more information, call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462 or email admissions@wu.edu.na. Velvicha University, where everyone is an achiever. Moving on. So, first of all, we find out who we are. And then accept that identity. And I feel like it's going to be a real fight because, a lot of us have a problem accepting our real Africanness, which is why I used the example earlier that there is no German, French, or English who is judging their native English, German, or Frenchman intelligence based on how fluent they are in a foreign language. It's just us. us that were colonized. And it's painful enough because it turns out there's one, you know, there's one Filipino American lawyer that wrote a book on that. The book is titled something like, yeah, Brown Skins, White Minds, where he basically looked at this using a Singapore that he did in study. It's actually the other way around. A study that is that he did based on a Singaporean recruitment. Where, just a summary of that experiment take two people, one Asian, he was an Asian, of course, he was gonna use Asian. One Asian, and then one white. And then you give them makeshift qualifications where you have, an Asian person is actually more qualified in terms of the job, the requirement that the job requires, the job requires in terms of academic qualification and also industry experience that's reflected on their resume, aka curriculum vitae. So the Asian was intentionally made for the sake of the study to be more, more qualified in terms of academically and experience-wise compared to the white person. Guess who the person, guess who the people that were conducting the interviews were most likely to hire? A white person. Irrespective of the fact that they did not have the qualifications. At least they were qualified, but they were not as qualified as the Asian. Now, that study, at this point, I totally understand why Homeboy wrote a whole book on it. And he titled it, Brown Skin, White Mind. So, most if not all of us that are coming from the countries that were colonized have this perception, our intelligence standards, our beauty standards, everything is based on what would a European think? We are the biggest consumers of skin lightening, of skin lightening cosmetic products. Why? Because our beauty standards are based on European beauty standards. You are not beautiful unless you are light skin. I know it's beautiful to look at, and basically, it's important to reflect on and ask ourselves one question. If we are still in denial about our skin color, we have a long way to go before we finally understand, like, who we are as a people and finally accept who we are and then start, surrounding ourselves with things that reflects our identity. I know. I like to bring it up because it annoys a lot of people. It turns out, painful transition period of us, first of all, finding ourselves and, finding ourselves and accepting who we are, the Japanese are holding our hands and going like, we're going to help you. We're going to help you. So let's go to two events that were held, before this TICAD event. Now, in May of 2025, Japan and Africa came together to do, two sessions. One was more academic oriented in terms of discussion and agenda. And, the other was more textile oriented, like showcasing, the Japanese are showcasing their textile industry, the Japanese one, not the Western influenced one, because they also have the same, they're also battling with that. And the Africans were also, producing their, textile, African textile, like, African as in literally African. Textile pieces to showcase to these events. And what I found interesting is that, the Japanese produced, produced their own pieces of, their own works, textile pieces to showcase to these events. And the Africans also produced their own pieces to showcase to this event. And then, they came together and produced pieces by merging the two pieces, pieces from both sides. They made, pieces that were made from made from, you know, made from both materials and, you know, and touches from, you know, from Japan and Africa type. Now, if anyone has seen, has seen a lot of, old, you know, at least movies that is made to portray old Japanese, you know, Japanese societies, then you know that, bluish type of hue is their main, and that's the country's favorite color. Why? It's because it's their national heritage. I think it's over 400 years that they have been using, a type of plant to dye a cloth into a darkish, a darkish blue, slightish like a darkish blue, like a purplish type, but it's more leaning towards blue, the material. That's their national heritage. It's one of their many national heritages. Japan, of course, is going to, you know, the katana, you know, mighty sword. Now, here's the thing though. That for me was very beautiful to see that, I found that very beautiful to see that, not only did these two regions, you know, of course it's a whole continent in the country that can fit in Namibia like 300 times. Now the thing is, these two groups of people, we are talking about Japanese and Africans basically here. The Japanese were like, this is what we are able to produce. This is us, Japanese people. This is us before the whole Kaboom World War One, you know, came up. Now, traditionally, like when it comes to textile, this is us as Japanese people. And Africans were like, "All right, thank you very much. It was nice meeting you guys. Now, we are going to show you who we are as Africans." And all together, they came together and were like, "How about we just mesh that together and see what we can come up with?" So, these are people that are involved in the textile industry. So there's artistic expression involved around this whole thing. So they decided to basically use their artistic minds and they went bananas. And they produced some of the amazing pieces of work. Now, there's a whole, on the United Nations Development Program website, they basically showcase, what Japanese presented, what Africans presented, and then a combination of both when the artists coming from different cultures and different tribes and different, you know, different traditions were basically they were given the environment to go wild about what they can do with a piece of cloth. And they produced amazing pieces of work. Isn't it amazing the things that we can, the things that we are able to do when we are not bombing the heck out of each other? We are really, 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 really good. Now, but before they came to the textile, they started one, you know, the first event they had was that was mostly dominated by academic discourse, like in a literal sense of the word, where they were just talking about how the two regions can exchange knowledge, and we're talking about a university student exchange, and and the technological innovations, basically everything that is involved in the academic world, where the two countries can share. And we both know that when it comes to these type of discussions, Japanese dominate that because they have, their technology is heaps and bounds. I mean, they are light years ahead of us. So, having that partnership then is very important because, first of all, Japan is not a very natural resource rich country. At this point, you're asking yourself, but how are they that developed? Well, let's start with one. They didn't ship, they add value to the resources. They don't, put it on a 30-kilometer ship and then, train and then freight it to the nearest harbor. That's us, by the way. Mm-hmm. Isn't that painful? No. First one. In May of 2025, Japan and Africa came together to hold the first session of Africa Converse, 2025, and it was held at the Expo 25 Avenue in Osaka. That's one of the cities that you find in Japan. Now, the event was centered around textile. The first one is the one that was centered around education and knowledge exchange. Now, un momento, while I just split the two so I can stop, you know, mixing the information. Yebo. Yeah, and thanks to technology. And then there's flexibility in that. Ouch. Yeah, the internet is not interneting, so my script will do. Now, before the second session of Africa Converse 2025 was held, which focused on textile showcasing and knowledge exchange between Africa and Japan, the first one was held at Hiroshima University in April. The first one was held at the University of Hiroshima in Japan. And that was very important because this was academic discussion oriented. Some of the things they focused on was student exchange and how one of the student exchange program, the two had, basically endured the COVID-19 lockdowns. But before continue, commercial break.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the Eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the Eye.
And welcome back. The time is 29 minutes left to the hour of 6. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run, and this is Eagle FM. Thank you for tuning in. Your drive time show, and drive responsibly. Focus on the road, and just remember, I know a lot of us don't get told this, but it's a public road. That's a fancy way of saying it's for everyone to use. Therefore, it's a shared property. So don't drive like you own it. Thank you. Moving on. And that's because I want you to arrive alive so that, tomorrow you can tune in again on Home Run, same time, 4:30 to 6. So the first event that was held was the first event that was held is sort of like in preparation to the ongoing TICAD was held at the University of Japan. Yeah, was held at the University of Japan. Now that one was themed Shaping the Future of Japan Africa Academic Collaboration. Now the part that just got my wonderful attention was that the session opened with a keynote speech by Dr. Shinji Kaneko, executive president of Global Initiatives at Hiroshima University, who outlined what the university does for Japan-Africa academic collaboration. He highlights the growing presence of African students at Hiroshima University, noting that the institution currently hosts over 120 students from more than 30 African countries. That's one of the reasons. Now, moving on, Dr. Kaneko. Yeah, Dr. Kaneko also shared that Hiroshima University has established 21 partnership agreements with universities across Africa, including African Union and 9 African countries. The university has also established an overseas base in Cairo, Egypt, to foster stronger ties with the continent. Now, one of their education initiatives that actually weathered the COVID-19 pandemic storm was something called the Japan Africa Triangle Education Program, and which is a student exchange program that Japan has with Egypt, Zambia, and Malawi. And I went like, we have one, right? Despite the challenges, Dr. Kaneko points out, despite the challenges posed by the pandemic, the program successfully sent 50 students from Japan to North and Southern African countries for in-person exchange. So this is basically looking at it from the angle of sitting and talking is not enough. You have to be on the ground. And this is basically, when I read through this the first time, I couldn't help but think about how our, standing committees out of the National Assembly and the National Council does things. And that's, instead of just sitting and talking about, talking about what's going on in Hanguena, what's going on in Kavango, what's going on in Kavango, East, West, Zambezi, Karas, Komas, Erongo, Hardap. If there's a project that's going on, take for example, if there's a project within the Ministry of Agriculture that is, or if there's a project that's taking place in Hardap region that has gained the attention of parliamentarians, and it keeps coming up with regards to the progress of how far the project is going, what the National Council or the National Assembly does is they will just if it's an agricultural project, for example, it's most likely going to be the Natural Resources Standing Committee from the National Assembly. Those are the guys that are most likely going to be sent. On what they like to discuss. Described as quote-unquote fact-finding mission. Now, they will be on the ground interviewing the people that are directly and indirectly involved in the benefiting and in the accomplishing or execution of this project. And then they compile a report based on their findings, and they don't hide it. They put it on the National Assembly website. They put it on the Namibian Parliament website. It's very easy to find. Now, even though that is just a somewhat of a crude example that I used, they have a bunch of reports like that. So, being on the ground is more than just sitting in the class and, saying, oh yeah. Okay, so that's how it works. Nice. And then everyone calls it a day. That's because there are some things that you need to go hands on for you to for you to get a feel of how to do it, for you to be good at it. Take driving, for example. do drive a car. You can sit in the class and study for 10 years and gain a PhD in driving. When you'll be put in a car, you'll be terrible at it. That's because for you to be a good driver, you must sit behind the steering wheel and control the machine. You're going to be terrible in the beginning. And let's get used to telling people the truth. You're going to be terrible in the beginning. You are going to be terrible. When every time that you try something new, you are going to be terrible. And I learned that when I decided I was going to, take a day or two in my life to learn a foreign language. In the beginning, you are going to suck to the point where you are going to be like, you know what, I'm going to give up. Oh, no, you're also going to give up several times. Now, everyone that have everyone that has a license knows the hassle. You know, one that doesn't know a guy who knows a guy and one that did not pay for it. And if you did, you're the reason why there are a lot of accidents. And now, imagine buying a license and you still have the nerves to drink and then drive. No sense. Now, fact finding mission. Jesus, old habits die hard. So the fact-finding missions are just equally important. So we're back to Dr. Kaneko's a presentation. The partnership will annually nominate. This was also pointed out this year that the partnership. This is the Africa Japan partnership. Now, this partnership will annually nominate 20 to 25 PhD students over the next 5 years. And put in mind, this was in early 2025. These statements were made. The Africa Japan partnership will annually nominate 20 to 25 PhD students over the next 5 years, sending them to Hiroshima with a broadened focus extending beyond social science and education to include science and engineering disciplines. Isn't that just beautiful? Now, Professor Global Health Nursing Graduate School of Biomedical and Health Science, Hiroshima University, shared her hands-on experience working with the Muhimbili University of Health and Allied Science in Tanzania, emphasizing the growing science demand for health science across the African continent. Looks like the collab is working so far, so hoot. Maybe hoping that's that's not an insult. So then you can see that it's very important. The collab has its advantages. It's already presenting its advantages. That was in April. They had that in April. And one thing that was also pointed out was that according to the United Nations Development Program, the event was part of a dialogue series that was set to promote the ongoing TICAD discussion that our Prime Minister is also attending. And the first event was this the one that we went through, which was themed Shaping the Future of Japan, of Japan Africa Academic Collaboration. And the theme emphasizes, they focused on the knowledge exchange, especially academic institutions on the African continent and Japan, and how they are going to further each other's knowledge base and what they are going to exchange for mutual benefit at the end of the day. The second event was held in Osaka. Just to put in mind, this one was held at Hiroshima University. So this was in Hiroshima, one of those cities that suffered imperial bombing back in 1945. Now, the first one, now the second one was held in June. The first one was held in April. The second was, one was held in June. The second, even the first one was held, was more academic oriented in terms of the agenda. This one, that's where the one that was held in Osaka in June was more like, all right, we can, what can, okay, academic out of the way. Now let's get to the technical guys. What can you do? Well, now, which I think it's very, I mean, the approach of it is very beautiful, because if you look at it, the first event that was held at the University of Hiroshima was more like, you know, the people that are brain oriented, the people that can, you know, that are made for the academic world. And then they held a separate one that prioritized people that are good with their hands. That's wonderful. Because it would, you can see that, the collaboration not only does it acknowledge, the contribution to the partnership of the academic world, you know, aka, you know, book smart, but also what, hand smart, if you can call it that. People that are, you know, may not be smart when it comes to memorizing the multiplication timetable, but when you give them stuff to use their hands, they are also good at that. It turns out that, you know, they also understand that. They also understand that. So they decided to hold two events. One that was dominated by the academic guys, people that are, you know, the front row seat, you know, always a hand up in front of the teacher type of people, and then you have you know, the backbenchers that will be terrible in the class, but when they've never memorized a sentence, but when you give them an engine, they can build it from the ground up. Now you're asking yourself, how the heck does he do that? Again, smartness or intelligence, as we have redefined it, going back to the Benin bronze statues. Those statues were made by people that did not have PhDs, yet they were able not only to mine these resources, but also refine them and then mix them. Now, anyone that has done, you know, anyone that's in this line of work, especially those ones that are into metallurgy, for example, they're going to tell you how complicated these things are. But our ancestors were willing to pull that off without a single textbook. Now, for us, with all our textbooks and the internet plus AI, we still go, hey, how do you do this again? We need investment. And then the money is given for investment. You chop the money and then, no sense. Now, we have done, we have gone through the academic discussion, more like the academic aspect of things. Then we come in with a brush through of the technical hands-on type of people that you find on, you know, that you find on the African continent and in the country of Japan. In this Japan-Africa collabo. Before we continue, let's take a break. And if you just tuned in, Helmut, Eagle FM, Home Run.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back. We have 13 minutes before I call it a day. Now, the second session of Africa Converse 2025, as it was titled. The first one, Africa Converse 2025, was held at the University of Hiroshima in Japan, and it was themed Shaping the Future of Japan-Africa Academic Collaboration. Like the theme emphasizes, it focused more on academic stuff, rah-rah-rah type of things. Now, the second one, that was in April. The second one, which was held in May, and which also coincided with, I think it was intentionally made to sort of give it more, je ne sais quoi, and they decided to hold it on the 25th of May 2025. Now, for those of you that have been living under a rock, that is Africa Day. Which is also Africa Day. On May 25th, in celebration of Africa Day, the second session of Africa Converse 2025 was held at the Expo 2025 venue in Osaka. Centered around the theme of African textile, the event explored a deep enduring ties between Africa and Japan. The venue showcased vibrant fabrics from across the African continent, accompanied by fashion shows that skillfully blended African textile with elements of Japanese culture. Right. So, where was it? The venue showcased vibrant fabrics from across the African continent, accompanied by fashion shows that skillfully blended African textile with elements of Japanese culture. The panel discussion also took place, where speakers engaged in lively dialogue in historical roots of exchange between the two regions and the future potential of culture, cultural collaboration through fabric. Now, the first black person, at least that is recorded to step on the continent of Japan, was a Mozambican or Sudanese gentleman who by the name of Yasuke, the guy who I think, Assassin's Creed. The next Assassin's Creed, I think the new Assassin's Creed is based on, if it's out, or it's going to be based on if it's not yet out. I don't remember last time I checked up on it. Found himself in Japan. I think that was in 1570 something that he, he found himself there, and he had a significant military training. So, he was not new to the military discipline, so he accompanied a Jesuit priest, Donas, and he found himself in Japan. Now, when he found himself in Japan, the story he recorded was that the demio, the military leader, I think, if I can just put it in a more vague terms, in terms of hierarchy, in terms of the Japanese power structure, asked his men to, to sort of scrub him and see if he had, if this is just a spy, because, I'm not sure if I'm going to pronounce that right. The Sengoku period. Now, this is a time that Japanese were kicking the heck out of each other militarily. And so So you can imagine when a military head came across someone he had never seen before. First of all, he was from eastern part. He was from the Horn of Africa. He was freakishly tall. And if you've seen Japanese, you know that they don't really have the Herero height type of people. Let alone who is black. I was like, let's try watching him, and let's just make sure we are not dealing with a spy who is impersonating, So they basically scrubbed him and said, Nope, he's just fried. So they decided to welcome him, basically. So decided to, they welcomed him like, how do I put this? Let's just say, they didn't start off on a wrong foot. The first thing they came in the Japanese mind when they first saw a black guy was, let's get him to the plantation, like some people won't mention. They just, well, he's one of those people that is, this is one of the most debatable part about the, you know, the history of Yasuke now. Some say that he attained the rank of a samurai. Call it, you know, special forces type, or, you know, in today's world, like, highly trained to, you know, right next to the king type of people. Some say he ascended to the, you know, some records say he ascended to, you know, he managed to ascend to the, to the rank of samurai, which is a very, you know, a very respected rank in Japanese, you know, in Japanese military tradition. Now, that was the first time, at least according to records, that a black person stepped on the island nation of Japan. Fast forward a couple of hundred years later, we are sitting here talking about them, which sounds a little bit very scary now, more like, and also humbling, because fast forward a couple of hundred years from now, well, our ancestors of both countries, you know, of both Japan and the African continent, are going to be talking like, well, in 2025, our ancestors were here. They were talking about, you know, us working together. And it's a good thing that we still are working together. It's just that, you know, don't, as long as we just don't go unit 733 on, unit 731. Hey, that's one of the darkest historical chapter in the history of Japan and China. That's one of the reasons why the two countries, the tensions are still trying to settle them down. What happened there? Nothing good. Long story short, being done by the Japanese to the Chinese. Like I said, nothing good. Now, we have 5 minutes before I, you know, before I wrap up and leave, you know, before I wrap up and hand over to the business and economic segment, guys. It's, today's Thursday, right? Yeah, today's Thursday. No. But, before I continue and basically wrap up, I'm going to take a quick break.
Great news! Imba just got even better.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcome back. What sorcery is this? Yeah. We continue. Having only 3 minutes left, I think it's important for us to realize that if we don't know who we are, or more like we know who we are, but we don't want to accept who we are as a people, it'll be very hard for us to make, to make partnerships like this, because who are we going to present ourselves as? Take, for example, if we made a partnership with the Norwegians, the Italians, the Japanese, and I think if Italy says, let's have a food collabo with Africa, they will be very disappointed to find out that what Africa will be presenting as the food they eat is pretty much what is coming from their kitchens. They'll be like, Italians are going to go like, yeah, but that is ours. And all Africans will be like, oh, we thought it was ours. And I more often imagine, every time I think about that, I more often imagine both of them bursting into laughter and going like, we colonized you guys. Or in case of Ethiopia, we tried to colonize you guys. They couldn't even colonize Ethiopia. But, in case of Italy, they'll be like, okay, at least we tried to colonize you guys. Now, the ticket is ongoing. It started yesterday. It's ending tomorrow. And, I pointed out in the earlier discussion that was done back in April, titled, AfriConverse, where a lot of, knowledge exchange, both practical and theoretical, was basically emphasized. And, I really appreciate the Japanese, for letting African textile guys to basically, somewhat slightly expropriate their culture and incorporate it in their pieces of work. Because you have to understand that this is one of those things that can actually be very offensive. Before you adopt someone's piece of work, that's someone's intellectual property. That's someone's heritage. You can't just, grab it and then start taking it mainstream, because it can come off as either offensive unless you make sure that you have all the right information. So you are doing it right. If I stand up right now, for example, and start, speaking with a German accent, and get it right, I'm gonna get a lot of Germans laugh. I'm gonna get a lot of Germans laughing. There are a few that are going through heartbreaks and divorce, maybe business is not going very well. Them, that are gonna get angry. But if I get it wrong, all Germans will be like, that's not how Germans speak. So, an event was held outside of Africa, and it was titled AfriConverse, and it was themed exploring the power of African textiles, and it was hosted on Africa Day. That's how far the Japanese went with, that's hospitality level a million. That's hospitality level a million, because that's when I will say, do you have enough? I mean, it's like being a guest of this host who couldn't stop, just can't stop checking up on you. Because, believe me, they really went all out for us on this one. AfriConverse, exploring the power of African textile, hosted on Africa Day. And they allowed Africans to incorporate a Japanese twist, a Japanese feel, to the textile. I read that and I went like, I feel like getting myself a Japanese girlfriend. That was not part of the expo. That was not a part of it. So, One thing that was also pointed out the fashion show Fabric with Next Gen by one. The names are murdering me. Fabric with Next Gen is one of the shows that was basically presented. The show showed creatively combined traditional African textile with a contemporary Japanese Harajuku fashion. You can Google that. Showcasing a dynamic creativity and cultural exchange between the two regions. Miss Yuka Kobayashi, founder and designer of the brains behind Fabric Next Gen. Miss Yuka Kobayashi, this is a very Japanese native sounding name. So that goes to show that in the creation of the weaving together of this textile material to produce somewhat of a hybrid textile product that reflects the traditional feel. And of both regions was made by people coming from both sides. So you have the Japanese telling you that, that will reflect us. That won't. So throw it away. And you have the Africans that are showing you that will reflect us. That is just too much Hollywood. Throw it away. Now, which is why you shouldn't really learn about people's culture from movies. Don't. Just don't. Don't. I think Africans know that better than anyone else. And African accent that's spoken in the Black Panther, among other movies that is supposed to portray African societies. I don't know a part of Africa where that accent is spoken. And I am African, I should know. Nope. But that accent, every African movie, every movie that is supposed to portray African society in Hollywood movie is gonna have that accent. Now, for anyone that doesn't have any black friend who is African, and who has been to Africa, or who was born and raised in Africa, they are going to fall for the fact that that's how Africans speak. First of all, African means someone from Africa. And that can mean a lot, because we are very, 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 very diverse. So, one other example I can use is that it took me reading up on a lot of Eastern European history to come to the realizations that, there's this Eastern European, especially it's used mostly in reference to, especially in reference to Russia. The equivalent of cheers? It turns out, Nazdarobia is not, is it Nazdarobia or Nazdarovia? It must be Nazdarobia. I've come across 1,000 videos of Eastern European coming like, no one actually says that. I'm like, hang on a second. I thought, but we don't actually do that. I'm like, oh, okay. That's nice to know. So, don't learn about a group of people tribally, racially, culturally from a movie. No. Read books. I know it's not something that you hear every day, but read books. watch documentaries, but I'll still stick to read books. Now, when I say read books, read their books. This is kind of be tricky for me to start writing books about Japanese people are like this. Every Japanese will be like, huh? You better get it right, because if you screw up, everyone will be like, could you just stop pretending to be Japanese, and they'll be right. I'm most likely going to be pissed because they're going to get on my nerves, but they'll be right. It's kind of difficult for me to write something about Japanese people. For one, I don't know a single person. I don't know a single Japanese person. Okay, I know one. Okay, I met one and then totally forgot his name. And, you know, well, we were out, had a good time. That's one thing I know about guys. Chances are very high he doesn't even remember my name. Well, he dropped me at home. Eish! It's a good thing the traffic, you know, the police did not run into us that day, because we would have been in serious trouble. I was like, I kept saying, this is not how you drive in Tokyo, do you? He goes, Homeboy was just hitting the brakes to the point of almost running through traffic lights. So like, guys, we're going to get into trouble. But bottom line, we had a good time. But moving on. Actually, there's no moving on. That brings us to the end of our show for today. And I just have to draft up a schedule and then see how we can sit and talk about the main event. Because the two events that I cover today are were all in preparation to the TICAD event that is currently underway. Not underwear, underway. Welcome to English. So for me, until tomorrow, same time, same place on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. You all have a blessed evening. And please do stay tuned for the next show that is Business and Economic segment. With David.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.